Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back in. Hour number two. Good to have you guys in here on a Saturday as we roll till 12 o'clock. We'll lead you right into college football game time. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, Chris Goforth, and they'll lead you right up until the SEC championship today. Alabama, Georgia, Mercedes-Benz Stadium as they do it again. Speaking of doing it again, why don't we welcome in our buddy Jake Crane from the J-Boy Show, part of Colin Cowherd's The Volume. This guy's been great for us all year. He's been on four or five times in the last 12 weeks. Might need to get the man a bottle of bourbon or vodka for the holidays for doing great work. What's up, Jake? How you doing, bud?
Hey, man. No, I appreciate it. You guys do a great job, and it's always fun to come on. And, you know, it's amazing how fast the season goes once it gets rolling, man. But I will take a bottle of bourbon if you guys are down. So.
All right. I'm going to DM you. Give me the address. We'll send you some Woodford Reserve. It'll be there by Tuesday.
Oh, man. Wow. That'll be the classiest thing I've done all year.
There you go. All right. We're setting the bar high. So let me get to the quarterback, first of all, because I feel like today Stetson Bennett, Bryce Young, it feels on paper like a major mismatch. But I don't want to rule out Stetson Bennett because I think he can make a few plays with his arm. I think he can extend some drives with his legs. What does Stetson Bennett need to do to win today's game?
Well, you know, in one of our keys to victory yesterday for Georgia, a lot of it's just being yourself. It's doing what they've been doing the whole year. You know, what separated Georgia outside of obviously having an elite roster full of a lot of talented guys, but there's three or four rosters out there. You look at Alabama's, Ohio State's, a couple others that are pretty loaded. They've been the most consistent team. They've played complementary football, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise, and Stetson hasn't had to do too much. I tell you where Stetson, to me, makes a difference today. It's with his legs, extending plays, to be able to throw the ball in the intermediate game and the vertical game, and extending drives on third and five, third and six, if the first read or second read's not there, being able to take off and get that first down, which is back-breaking for a defense. So Georgia doesn't have to come out and invent anything. They don't have to try and do something that's outside of the realm of what they've done. And at the end of the day, you know, they've been like gravity. They've been consistent, and you don't realize they're there until it's the third quarter and you're down 27-7.
What type of role and what factor do you think George Pickens plays in today's game?
Well, you know, at worst, he's a decoy. At best, he's a bomb. You know, when I look at what George Pickens brings, you know, defensively, even though he hasn't played, I have to account for that guy. Whether he's out there and I'm saying, all right, well, if we're running two man, do we need to bracket him? That opens the door for McConkey and all these other guys. But to me, I'm looking at the tight ends today, Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington. It's always the biggest matchup, typically for an offense when they have a guy that can do multiple things, and they have two of them, two of the highest grading tight ends in the country. But while George Pickens may be a decoy, that decoy could open up that seam for Bowers and Washington to make some big plays, especially in the red zone.
Jake Crane is joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. All eyes on the coaches, the quarterbacks, but you look at Jordan Davis, you look at Will Anderson, two of the best defensive players in the entire sport. Do you think either one of them can work their way into the Heisman conversation if they're game wreckers today?
You know, you hope they would be able to. You know, you watch it, what both of them have been able to accomplish, and if there was ever a year where it was going to happen, this is the year. You know, Bryce would have to – it would have to not be a great game for Bryce. You look around the rest of the country, I don't think Kenny Pickett's got a chance. But if, you know, Jordan Davis goes out here and has an incredible game, or Will Anderson has an incredible game and they win, I would hope they would do that.
You know, I find it interesting. I look at an Alabama team all those years with Nick Saban, all the running backs, and Brian Robinson banged up. And I'm reading earlier this week that Alabama might only have one scholarship running back in this game. Can Alabama win this game with just Bryce Young and a couple of weapons on the outside, or do they have to find a way to at least pose some sort of threat to run the football?
I'm going to tell you what I think you're going to see today. I think you're going to see Alabama almost make it look like they are running a hurry up when they get up to the line, and then they're going to milk the clock all the way down to the play clock, all the way down to three or two and snap the ball. I think they're going to try and shorten this game. I wouldn't be surprised if you did see them bleed in a little bit of up-tempo, but you're not going to consistently go 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 plays on a drive against this Georgia team. It's hard to be a python and squeeze them out to death. You got to kind of be a cobra and strike them quick, which they can with Jamison Williams and Mechie. But the problem is, will they be able to protect Bryce Young even when Georgia's not pressuring? I mean, if they struggle blocking Auburn's defensive line in pass pro, best of luck to what Georgia's going to be walking in here straight out of the volcanoes of Mordor and Lord of the Rings. So if he doesn't have time to be able to stretch it vertical, then I don't see a way that Alabama scores more than 17 points. I don't see it.
You know, for two or three weeks now, the national narrative has been Alabama's got no chance. Georgia's going to suffocate them. Georgia's decisively better. Alabama has struggled versus this team. Alabama won by two against that team. Try to get into the head of Nick Saban. Has he played that up psychologically with his players behind closed doors, that the national media has basically said, you know what, don't even show up today. Georgia's going to be coronated?
Yeah, you know, this plays right into the Nick Saban, we're still the underdog playbook. You know, not only you look at the spread, you look at the talk and the narratives, but here's the problem. This is why it's not going to affect Georgia, in my opinion. These guys came back for this game. They didn't come back for Georgia Tech. They didn't come back for Florida. Jordan Davis and all these guys on the defense came back because Alabama's been the one hurdle that they can't jump over. And this is what I think they measure themselves. I think they may get up for this game more than the national championship game at the end of the day. So while it does play into what Nick Saban wants to do, I think this could be the one situation where it's not going to work. Because, look, it depends on what the players think, not what the fans think, not even really what the coaches think. So I think Georgia gets up for this one. I do think Georgia wins. But I don't think it's going to be a bloodbath. Bama will get up defensively. It'll probably be tight and low scoring early. And it'll get to the third, you know, about halfway through the third. And I think you'll see Georgia start to make some ground.
Jake Crane of the J-Boy Show, Colin Cowherd's The Volume Sports Network, joining us here on the Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, you know, if I would have said going back at Labor Day weekend, Alabama's not going to make the playoff, Ohio State will not make it, Oklahoma will not make it, and Clemson will not make it, most people would say I'm crazy. Is this a year, if in fact Bama doesn't make it, that works against the expansion argument for college football's playoff?
No, you know, to me, I think we've seen so much parity and so many great matchups that it actually kind of lends toward it, in my opinion. You know, I look at what we've seen across the country. It's funny, Nick, you know, going up, you know, through the season, every Tuesday we do a 12-team matchup. You know, what it would look like with a 12-team playoff. And some of the matchups are unbelievable. So I think it's good for college football. I think they should do the 12, you know, I wanted the 18 playoff, but 12 team, I think it's about, you got to cap it there because then you start messing with the regular season if you go past that. But I think it'd be really good at 12. The matchups would be awesome. And it'd be good for college football. And, you know, the people that make the money, I'm sure they'd have no problem tripling the already doubled profits.
No doubt. Final one for you. So we've got coaches leaving, like Brian Kelly, who are still technically in a playoff pursuit, going for other jobs. The transfer portal is humming. We've got name, image, and likeness, and we've got expansion on the way. Is college football unanimously changing for the better, or is there some elements of this that you don't like?
You know, I mean, I think there's good and bad. I don't think we need to put it as black and white as if it's all good or if it's all bad. To me, you've got to be able to look at in increments of what's happening because so much stuff is happening. I mean, this has been the most, I think you could say influential college football season of all time for some of the reasons you mentioned. But I don't think that makes it all bad. I don't think it makes it all good. You know, it's kind of like if I got a car and the transmission breaks, well, then I got to buy a new car. But if one of the tires gets flat, I'm just going to buy a new tire. So I don't think we have to overhaul everything. We need to take the good out of what we've found out, whether it's through NIL, whether it's through the transfer portal, and find a way to make college football as good as possible. So it's always a learning process.
Jake, great stuff, man. I appreciate your time today and all season. Definitely hit me up on a DM. I'm going to get you a bottle of booze. You got my word.
Hi, Nick, I appreciate it, buddy. You guys do a great job, and I'm down to come on anytime. And I will class it up and get some of that Woodford Reserve, my friend.
All right, thank you, Jake.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Jake Crane, the J-Boy Show, part of Colin Cowherd's The Volume Sports. I mean, you know, here's the thing with today's SEC championship. When I look at all three phases of the game, both sides of the ball, both teams, you know, we get so caught up in, you know, the coaches. Can Kirby beat Nick? And will Stetson be able to go and sling it against Bryce? Does JT come in? Which edge rusher will have the bigger day? You know, all of that stuff is fun to talk about. But I remember years ago, I think it was the rematch, Alabama-Florida 2009, the second time Saban went against Urban Meyer and Tebow. Gary Danielson said something that really stood out to me. And it's a basic thing, and we just totally overlook it. You know, you got all these stars on both sides of the ball, you know, rock star coaches. I don't think it's the extraordinary play. Just the routine, ordinary play is good enough. And he went on to elaborate, and I'm like, you know, it's basic. We all should know it, but sometimes we get caught up in the glitz and the glamour. Staying on sides, blocking, getting off of blocks, tackling in space, don't turn the ball over, no delay of game. You know, the basic stuff that you should have mastered as a high school football player. Sometimes that's all you need in these big, pressurized games of consequence. And it really stood out. I think that could be a big factor today. The more disciplined team doing what you're supposed to do could be good enough, especially in a game that should be a heck of a game. I know the spread is 7 points or 6.5 points, and the whole world thinks Georgia by double digits, but this feels like it could be a 12-round fight. 404-741-0929, the number. Let's hear from Danny Cannell, CBS Sports HQ. He was on with Dukes and Bell talking about how Kirby Smart has built the Bama of the East.
It goes back to the formula, and there's no panic in Kirby Smart because of how good of his defense is, where he essentially built Bama East. He has. I mean, that was the formula, and then you're thinking, oh, no, the game has changed, and, you know, you need to have this high-flying offense. Again, something I have thought you needed to do to win, but the way the stars are aligning and the teams that he might have to face, like, I thought Ohio State could have been a problem. Oh, man, that offense, you're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with that. Well, if it's Michigan from the Big Ten, that plays right into your wheelhouse. Go ahead, Michigan, try to run it on us. Let's see Hassan Haskins try to run it our defense. You know, if it's Cincinnati, who you already saw in the bowl game, all right, you guys are going to try to score points against us? Good luck. Like, there's no team that looks like they can go out there and outscore, and Georgia's defense looks dominant enough, and Stetson Bennett has gotten you plays when he needed them. Like, he's, you know, he dials up a beautiful deep ball, a play action. He doesn't turn the ball over. Like, he makes great decisions, and that's exactly what Kirby is asking him to do, and Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator. And he's been really one of the unsung heroes for this Georgia team.
That was Danny Cannell of CBS Sports on with Dukes and Bell this past week. Now all Kirby has to do is win a national championship. Easier said than done. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll take a deep dive on the Falcons and the Bucks. What's the long-term future of Cordarrelle Patterson? Did the Falcons miss on a guy that balled out on Thursday night? And then also, we will get a little behind the enemy lines perspective on the Falcons opponent tomorrow. Y'all know him pretty well. His name's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's in 25 minutes. But coming up next, crazy college football coaching carousel continues. I'll tell you who got it right, who got it wrong, who's a question mark, and what's still to be filled. That's next. Nick Cale Show, Championship Saturday, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back in the Kale Show here on a championship Saturday in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app as we roll till 12 o'clock today. We'll lead you right into college football game time. John Chuckery, Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, they'll take you for the next 4 hours. We still have a lot to do. 1 hour from now, Dave Schultz, WNSP in Mobile. We'll get our picks segment, all the games against the spread, Falcons, Bucks, take a deep dive on that in about 20 minutes. Also, you're going to hear a little bit more from Danny Cannell on the coaching search of all these programs. What's still available? Who was the big winner? Who maybe was ducking competition? We'll get to all of that coming up in 1 minute. But speaking of coaches, let's go out and take a phone call and welcome in Coach Carter to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach Carter, what's going on, bud?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Yep.
Listen, I have two predictions. All right? Number one, I've been watching Georgia all year long like everybody else has. All right? I'm a Georgia fan. My son is an alumni of Georgia.
Nice.
But Kirby Smart's offense is too conservative. All right? So between Alabama's explosive play, our team being too conservative, prediction number one, Alabama 31, Georgia 17. But hold on. We will get redemption in the college football playoff. Kirby, not so smart, will be forced to make adjustments. Georgia will beat Alabama in the playoffs and either play Michigan or Oklahoma State for the National Football Championship. So go Dawgs.
All right, Coach Carter.
Thanks a lot for taking the call.
You got it, Coach. He even worked in a few ites. He truly is a coach. I don't know if he was channeling his inner Nick Saban or if that's just part of his vernacular, but he worked in all right. I like it. Good stuff out of Coach Carter. 404-741-0929. Could I see Alabama winning the game? Yeah, I could. Setting up a rematch? Certainly. Do I see Alabama by two touchdowns? Yeah, I don't know about that. To me, it feels like Alabama 3 to 4 point victory at most, all the way up to a Georgia 6 to 7 point victory. I really don't see either team by double digits. I know that was Coach Carter's prediction right there. I know a lot of people think Georgia can win by double digits. I think this is an they're two different teams, but they're incredibly evenly matched. Alabama's got some strengths at receiver, at quarterback, with the pass rusher, but Georgia's got the better offensive line, the nose tackle up front with Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, the better linebacker, more dependable on the back end, more of a balanced approach offensively as far as distributing the rock to Bowers, to McConkie, to three different running backs. For Alabama, it's like three or four guys on offense. For Georgia, it's like six, seven, or eight guys on offense. And offensively, Alabama scoring 42 a game, Georgia scoring 40 a game. Georgia with the all-time great defense, Alabama very susceptible. Right now, it feels like the coordinator advantage goes to Georgia. I like Monken and defensively better than I like Bill O'Brien and Pete Golding for Alabama defensively. But then again, coaching advantage heads up, head coach-wise, Nick Saban. Quarterback-wise, Bryce Young. But we'll see. I mean, this is setting up, I think, to be just the way it's always been with these teams for the last 8 years. Go back to the 2018 SEC Championship, a classic. Go back to the 2018 National Championship 11 months earlier, an overtime classic. Go back to 2012 when they played in the SEC Championship, a classic. Remember, Aaron Murray was on that drive. And I believe it was Conley that caught the ball inside the Alabama 10-yard line on the deflection. And then the clock ran out on Mark Richt in Georgia. If he would have just dropped that or it hits the ground, Aaron Murray and Georgia have one more crack at the end zone. But the clock expired. Alabama went on to play Notre Dame. And then they beat Manti Te'o and his fake girlfriend. 404-741-0929. All right. Let me get to the coaching rankings based on what happened. And we'll take more calls as we go along. 404-741-0929. But it has been a crazy college football coaching carousel. And we're not done. But here's the way I would rank what we have seen so far. Number one, Lincoln Riley to USC. That is the best hire, in my opinion. And here's the thing. A lot of people are going to sit there and say, oh, Lincoln Riley's ducking the SEC. Maybe he is. But it's smart. Like, I know in football we're all machoed up and testosterone'd up and you got to be the tough guy and the fighter. Sometimes the path of least resistance is the smartest approach. Lincoln Riley could stay at Oklahoma. Oklahoma comes to the SEC with Texas and then maybe gets his butt handed to him. Or you can go to USC, own the Pacific time zone, own the West Coast, recruit California, and be a lock to make the college football playoff at 12 teams, be a lock to make the college football playoff at 8 teams. And even if it stayed at 4, I think USC would be back playing for college football playoffs with just 4 teams. So I think USC nailed it, and I think Lincoln Riley took the cerebral approach. I go Lincoln Riley, USC, number one. Number two, Brian Kelly to LSU. Brian Kelly, despite his adoption of a Southern accent in all of 13 minutes and leaving his team that is still actually in the hunt for a college football playoff berth, makes a ton of sense. And look, here's the thing. I never want to hear a fan ever again criticize a player for opting out of a bowl game that means nothing when coaches leave their team when they're still alive for a playoff berth. Don't ever be that guy again, because it's a business and it's about handling your own situation. And the reality is Brian Kelly has done all he can do at Notre Dame. With the academic standards and everything that's placed on Notre Dame, Brian Kelly has gone as far as he can. Multiple college football playoff berths, a national championship appearance. If Notre Dame is going to have the academic standards they have and the morals they have, which is great, you're never going to win a national championship in the modern era of college football at Notre Dame. He had a ceiling. He reached it multiple times. It was time to go elsewhere. Now, unlike Lincoln Riley, you could argue this isn't a smart move. Because here's the deal. even if you're staying at Notre Dame, an undefeated Notre Dame is always going to make the college football playoff. Whether you think they're one of the four best teams or not, brands matter. Eyeballs on television matter. Money dictates things. So if he kept going undefeated at Notre Dame, he's going to make the playoff every year. Now he's coming to the SEC West. He's got to deal with Nick Saban at Alabama, Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, Kirby in the East, Billy Napier at Florida in the West, or in the East if Florida gets back to relevance. I give Brian Kelly credit for coming to the toughest division in all of college football. And I think he's a fantastic coach. What he did at Notre Dame for over a decade with the restrictions placed on that program by the university president and their standards, I think he could definitely win national championships at LSU. Why not? Ed Orgeron did. Les Miles did. Nick Saban did. I think Brian Kelly can win a national championship with the Bayou Bengals. Brian Kelly, number two. Billy Napier, three at Florida, although I don't love it. And I say that even as a Dan Mullen hater. You know, is Billy Napier going to go better than 9-3 at Florida? And that wasn't good enough for Dan Mullen. Is that going to be good enough for Billy Napier? Now, you can give him a lot of credit for what he did at Louisiana. They were a ranked team, never before. It feels like Florida had to settle. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he ends up being a great coach and getting Florida double-digit wins, New Year's Six games, playoff berths, all that. But I wonder if that guy can really take Florida to where it needs to go. And you think about it, the state of Florida right now, between Florida, Florida State, and Miami, that talent-loaded state and all their programs are mediocre at best. It's bizarre. Number four, coaching hire. I like Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. Don't know a ton about him other than he's a defensive coordinator, but the players seem to love him. And I love seeing this opportunity for Marcus Freeman. I like it better than what Virginia Tech did, which was hire Brent Pry, defensive coordinator from Penn State. So that leaves us Oklahoma and potentially Miami. What happens? Well, first of all, with Miami, if it was me, I would fire Manny Diaz and either hire Lane Kiffin or Mario Cristobal from Oregon. Remember, Mario Cristobal was an offensive lineman on that 92 Miami team that played Alabama in the national championship. Mario Cristobal, short of playing Utah this year twice and getting drubbed twice, has been very, very good. It's not been to the level of Chip Kelly at Oregon, but it was better than Mark Helfrich post-Chip Kelly. And then you've got Oklahoma. If I'm Oklahoma, I make an offer to Mark Stoops at Kentucky that Mark Stoops can't refuse. I don't think Josh Heupel will leave Tennessee to go back to Oklahoma despite winning a national championship as their quarterback 21 years ago because he was fired by the athletic director who is still at Oklahoma. So I don't know what that relationship is like. I can't imagine that they're exchanging Christmas cards, if you know what I mean. I would hire Mark Stoops, bring in Bob's brother. What Mark Stoops has done at Kentucky is the equivalent to me of what Brian Kelly has done at Notre Dame. Look at the history of Kentucky football, and then look at what Mark Stoops has been able to do. The same thing with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. He's gone as far as he can go. 404-741-0929. Let's get to your calls. We get to Wayne Indicator, who's up next. Wayne, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, this is a great matchup today. I'm excited about it. But to your point about simplicity, I think the way you're going to have to beat Alabama is when you get an opportunity to sack Bryce Young, you have got to get him on the ground because he's really adept at avoiding the rush and throwing on the run, and that's going to open up those huge passing lanes for Mechie and all those other super receivers that they got. So when the opportunity presents itself, please, please, get him on the ground. I believe in Georgia's running defense, and I believe I do hope that they use a little bit more play action, move Stetson Bennett out of the pocket, move his platform, because that guy coming off the edge with 14 and a half sacks is no joke. Mm-hmm. So strike when you can. Get him on the ground as often as possible, because if you miss, then that's a big play waiting to happen. I think Georgia is going to win, and But I think it's going to be a classic. And I hope we can finally get this monkey off our back. But simplicity is the rule of the day for me. Get him on the ground when you can. No dumb penalty.
There you go, Wayne and Decatur. Appreciate the call. Thank you for checking in. I'm totally with you. And here's the thing, too, about Bryce Young. He uses his legs to extend plays to throw. Like, if you watched the Iron Bowl last week, he could have climbed the pocket multiple times and ran. He is very, very reluctant to take off and use his legs running. He wants to buy time to throw with his legs. 404-741-0929. Bruce in Roswell up next. Bruce, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I listened to Coach and the way he said, you know, Alabama was going to do what they were going to do. I think Georgia is not going to let Alabama score at all. I mean, they might score a couple touchdowns, maybe a field goal here and there, but it's not going to be nowhere near close. Georgia has probably the best defense, the best defense I've ever seen in college football. Nobody's getting past that, and their best luck would be if they played against Michigan or Cincinnati, since they're going to get in there. But basically, from what I see, and I also wanted to say on your Brian Kelly remark, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to LSU?
Yeah. Right. No, I'm with you, Bruce. Bruce, I appreciate the call. I got to get to a break, but I'm with you. And here's the thing. You talked about the defense. Georgia's most surrendered points this year, November the 13th against Tennessee. They gave up all of 17. That's the high water mark for Georgia's opponent this year. Can Alabama get into the 20s? I think they can. This feels to me 24-20, 27-24. I don't see either team getting into the 30s. But we'll see. I think Alabama will score the most points that Georgia has given up all year. The question will be, is that enough? And can they actually stop Georgia? Stetson Bennett might have a day. And if he does, he will be the mayor of Athens, Georgia, until he perishes. All right, coming up next, we'll continue on. More calls if you want in on the Bama-Georgia SEC Championship, 404-741-0929. We'll take all of your calls on the other side, as well as a little more on the Falcons and the Bucks. Because, guys, there's a big one in the NFL tomorrow, and it happens to be with our Atlanta Falcons. We'll get to that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yes, indeed. SEC Championship Saturday as we roll till 12 o'clock today. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, College Football Game Time. Coming up at noon today, Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, who, by the way, I think said earlier this week on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy that Brock Bowers is very well on his way to being the greatest tight end in Georgia history, which would say something because considering Randy McMichael was pretty good at what he used to do back in the day in Athens at the tight end position. And maybe that's a pressure point today. Maybe that is the guy that Alabama will have no answer for. Maybe Alabama will be able to handle Kyrus Jackson and Burton and McConkie and all of that. But maybe the mismatch that Georgia needs to exploit consistently is Brock Bowers against Henry To'oTo'o or an Alabama safety. Could very well be one of the big keys of the game. 404-741-0929. If you want to jump in with your thoughts on the SEC championship between Georgia and Alabama, we'll take those calls in about 5 minutes if you want to climb in now. But let's get to the Falcons and Bucks. A little bit of a deep dive here. And this is a big game because, guys, we're 5-6 and we're right in the hunt for a 7 seed. And pulling off the upset of Tampa Bay would go a long way in these final 6 weeks if the Falcons are, in fact, going to somehow wiggle in the back door as a playoff team. And one of the guys that has been exponentially better than I ever anticipated, and I think 99.99% of our audience would agree, Cordarrelle Patterson has been nothing short of a revelation. Let's hear from Steve Wyche of the NFL Network on Dukes and Bell talking about Cordarrelle Patterson, long-term contract.
You know, look, Cordero's been with how many teams, and nobody has utilized him the way Arthur Smith and the Falcons have. So I think his value to the Falcons might be more than it is to a lot of other teams. I'd be surprised if Atlanta let him go because, again, he's just been such a gem. You know, everything I hear about him in the locker room and in the building and how just spectacular of a human he is and how he makes everyone's day better is kind of the person you've seen, you know, that they seem like they want to build around. But league-wide, I'm just not sure if every team would necessarily use him like the Falcons use him, even though we're seeing more and more teams kind of go with that hybrid wide receiver running back like Deebo Samuel and guys like that. But I think he means more to the Falcons than a lot of other teams would probably value him at.
And here's the thing when you look at Cordarrelle Patterson, because you have to act twofold. Number one, what we're watching this year, is it just a completely obvious statistical anomaly where Cordarrelle Patterson will never do this again in his career? Possible. But he's also never truly been utilized this way because he was a return guy, he was a gadget guy, he was a receiver guy. Yeah, you know, whether it was with New England or with Minnesota or everywhere else he's been, he was never really utilized as an impact player. Now, keep this in mind as well. Look at the age, and you say, okay, do I really want to give him a long-term contract? Probably not. But then again, in the NFL, what's a long-term contract? Because contracts are in the NFL are as good as the paper they're written on. I mean, let's be real. But keep in mind this as well. The workload that he has had in his career is very minimal. He's getting more touches this year than he's ever had in his career. So he's not your typical, I've been in the league 8 or 9 years guy, and I got a lot of tread worn off of my tires. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. Do I want him back next year? Absolutely. Do I think he's back next year? Pretty good chance, because I think Steve Wyche is probably spot on. I don't know what the market will be for Cordarrelle Patterson, because unless you want to use him exactly the way Arthur Smith does at that volume of plays and touches, you're probably not breaking the bank for Cordarrelle Patterson. Probably more valuable to Atlanta than anywhere else. And speaking of else, let's get to the Buccaneers. They're rolling 8-3. You know it's Tom Brady season. We get to the point of this year where his teams typically separate and start laying it down on the opposition. Let's hear from Rick Stroud, great Tampa Bay sports writer, giving us a little preview on our opponent, the Bucs, and the injuries they've dealt with.
They're going to get Carlton Davis back maybe as early as this week. He's their best corner. A couple weeks ago, they were down to their seventh corner. I mean, seventh, right? Like, how many teams have two or three? And they're playing guys off the couch, guys that have gotten hurt. Richard Sherman's gotten hurt again. And it's just been a kind of a grab bag situation. And now, you know, you worry about a guy like Devin White. You know, offensively, they've been together on an offensive line here pretty good for about 3 years. Ali Marpet now has an abdominal injury. And that's a critical position in front of Tom Brady. Then they brought in Aaron Stinney, and he got hurt after 9 plays. He's probably out this week, so they could be down possibly to their third guard.
And the other thing with this game, it's going to simply come down to, I think, first and foremost, and it almost sounds crazy or borderline asinine to say this, I think it comes down to stopping Leonard Fournette. Like, I know what I'm getting from Tom Brady, and I know I'm not stopping Tom Brady. I've watched Tom Brady for 20 years. I've given up hope in stopping Tom Brady. But have you guys been seeing what Leonard Fournette has done this year? I mean, even if you haven't watched and you just play fantasy football, like, Leonard Fournette is having the year. Leonard Fournette this year is what everybody was anticipating when he came out of LSU. So I think first and foremost, you got to find a way to get a stalemate up front in the trenches and slow down Leonard Fournette and then force Tom Brady to throw it 39 times. No Antonio Brown, but still a ton of weapons. Mike Evans, Godwin, Gronk coming back the last couple of weeks. Plenty of weapons. But if you can somehow keep Leonard Fournette in check and make Tom Brady a little more predictable, and maybe just get a body at his feet, a body at his legs, keep him a little uncomfortable, a little jittery, push the pocket through the interior with Grady Jarrett, well, then all of a sudden, I think you have a shot. If, in fact, you can find a way to block the Bucs' front seven. And maybe that is not possible. 404-741-0929. Here's the other thing. As I mentioned in the headlines about an hour and 10 minutes ago, you have to start throwing Arthur Smith in the conversation for coach of the year. Not rookie coach of the year, which I think he's probably number two behind Staley out with the Chargers. And maybe you can even argue you put him ahead of him because Staley in LA has far more talent to work with than Arthur Smith does. But I think Arthur Smith right now, and nobody will say it other than the next guest we're about to play for you in a moment, but nobody's going to sit there and try to argue Arthur Smith for coach of the year when, in fact, you can make that case. I think right now, Belichick wins it. And then after Belichick, you're probably talking Vrabel, maybe the guy in Cincinnati who I continually draw a blank on. I think it's Zach Taylor, but I always forget that guy's name. But those three are the ones that jump out to me. And then right there in the conversation, and maybe he works his way up the list over these next 6 weeks, is Arthur Smith, especially if he can pull the upset over Bruce Arians and the Bucks tomorrow, or maybe even over Josh Allen and the Bills in the second to last week of the season when they go to Ralph Wilson Stadium in January. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, on with Dukes and Bell, talking about Arthur Smith for Coach of the Year.
I actually think, and nobody's going to do it because they're only 5-6, I think Arthur Smith should get some discussion for Coach of the Year. I really believe that. I mean, when you think about this team, their best skill guy, Calvin Ridley, hasn't been able to play for a while. And then their next best guy, Cordarrelle Patterson, is really a wide receiver. They've got it running back, and they were missing him for a couple games or a game or two, whatever it was. I'm just thoroughly impressed by what Arthur Smith's done, and we've talked about it before. I do think it's a real feather in the cap of Matt Ryan as well that they've gotten him to this point. I mean, I don't think there's very many guys on the Falcons that would start for other teams in the NFL. I mean, you're talking about Grady, probably Deion Jones, A.J. Terrell, Kyle Pitts to start for a lot, but not a lot, guys.
Totally agree with everything Ross Tucker just said on Dukes and Bell. Here's from Pro Football Focus. The most accurate quarterbacks on 10-plus yard throws down the field, minimum 100 attempts. Matt Ryan, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Think about that. Matt Ryan is the most accurate quarterback throwing the ball 10 yards plus down the field. So he's completing 70% because he checks it down out of the backfield. No. Matt Ryan vertically down the field, passes of 10 yards or longer through the air. He's the most accurate quarterback in the league minimum 100 attempts, right there with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Let that sink in for a moment. No Calvin Ridley, no offensive line, no run game. That shouldn't happen, but it is. So if you're a Matt Ryan hater, just listen to the last 38 seconds on the Odyssey app on loop, on repeat, and maybe you won't be a hater. And then I saw this, playing to Ross Tucker's point about how many guys other teams, you know, how many teams would come in and say, give me that guy on the Falcons on my roster. Not many, right? You heard Ross? Football Outsiders tweeted out a graphic of a composite score of surrounding talent and help for every quarterback in the NFL. And according to them, Josh Allen of the Bills has the most talent around him in the NFL, followed by Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, on down the list. Matthew Stafford at 13, Justin Herbert at 15, and then you get all the way down to the bottom, and you have Tyrod Taylor for Houston, Daniel Jones for New York, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Fields, Jared Goff, and who comes in at number 32, dead last for quarterback with surrounding talent around him? Matt Ryan. So he's the most accurate quarterback in the league, 10 yards plus down the field, with the least talent around him in the NFL. And here we are, 5-6, 6 weeks to go in a tie for the 7 seed, the final wild card in the NFC. If you don't tip your cap to Matt and you don't tip your cap to Arthur Smith, I don't know what you're watching. 404-741-0929. All right, we'll come back. Calls in the final segment when we come back to kick off hour number 3. Also, we'll go to Mobile, Alabama, coming up at 11:20. We'll talk to our buddy Dave Schultz, afternoon host for WNSP. As we round back to the SEC Championship, Alabama, Georgia, your calls. What do you guys think? Are you feeling it from a dog standpoint? Or as the old adage once goes, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Can Kirby Smart finally beat Nick Saban? Can Georgia finally beat Alabama? The last two times they have played in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Georgia has led for 117 of the 120 minutes, but they came out 0-2. Does that change today? We're back after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.